As we look at today, the message, Love Has Victory in All Things. When I give that title today, some of you may be thinking right now, I'm not feeling that victory. But the victory is because He's already claimed victorious over every enemy that we will ever have. Amen? In fact, in the book of Revelation, as He's revealing Himself to John the Revelator, He says, "For I am He who holds the keys." He has all power, He has all authority. He says, "I've conquered death, hell, and the grave." All of those things continue to give us fear today. We give very great remorse of facing those enemies, do we not? But yet God has already claimed victory over them all. And so is it possible for us to say that love has victory in all things? Well, according to Scripture, it does. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Well, why is that? Because faith and hope will one day end. You may be thinking, well, how is that going to end? When we enter into heaven, when we enter into the very presence of God, we have no need for faith because it's all been fulfilled. Nothing else to trust. It's happened. It's done. It's complete. And it will be completed in and through Christ. No other way but through Christ. Hope. When we stand before Him, even in the book of Hebrews, it says, those things that you see no longer require a need for hope because there it is. We hope for the things that we have not yet received. But yet it's a great motivator. Amen? We're going to touch on it this morning. But hope will stop because when we're in the presence of God, there's no need for hope because He is our hope. We will be with Christ personally. So we're with hope. We're living with Him. We don't have to wait for Him, but He's there. But love will continue. In fact, love is the motivator of many of the eruptions of praise that we have been studying in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. What a glorious picture of being in the presence of God, the Father on the throne, the Son at the right hand, and all glory goes to the Lamb that was slain. He will bear the marks of the cross so that you and I do not have to bear the scars of our own sin. But yet we will erupt in praise all throughout heaven. Every voice in heaven will cry out praise to the Lamb that was slain. Why? Because love continues. Love continues. We will continue to grow deeper in love with our Savior. We will experience love in the way that He intended for us to receive love and to give love. And we will be able to love in a way that has never been possible because of this flesh and because of our sin. But one day we will experience it just the way that God intended. Amen? Love will never cease. I touched on chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians last week. And in the process of preaching that, as you know, we had many preachers that were at church camp this year, Jesus Camp. And as a result, I heard some awesome preaching. And it just spurred me on to go deeper into this chapter. And it feels as though that it's going to be fitting for us as a church family that we need to see God's love and continue presence among us even today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to read one verse to get us started. It won't be the only verse that I read today, but we're going to cover 3 points. One, love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. And the last one is endures all things. So let's read the text, and you're going to see how I come up with these points. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. And he says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Can you imagine the creativity your pastor has this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy. Lord, we've already poured out our hearts to You today. And Lord, I trust that each and every one has laid their burdens, their hearts, their disappointments, their frustrations, their praises, their thanksgivings to You. They've laid all that out here in the altar today. So Lord, it's Yours. We put it in Your hands. There's nothing that we can fix. There's nothing that we can overcome that You haven't already taken care of. But Lord, I pray that You help us to keep short accounts. If there's any of us that need to confess sin, any of us to need to make things right, may we do so soon. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. But more than that, Lord, teach us how to love. Teach us that we might understand what it is that you intend to do in and through us, that will set aside the bitterness that's developed in us, the callousness on our spirit in trying to defend our own selves when we should allow you to defend us. Lord, teach us to be open-hearted. Help us to be thick-skinned, that not the slightest things just turn us away and cause us to give up. But help us to be thick-skinned and open-hearted to you, that we may show and demonstrate the love that you have shown to us. But Lord, we know that we can't do it on our own. It's only by your Spirit, the empowering of your Holy Spirit, that we can do these things. Be with us in the preaching of your word. Guide us in your word. Give us boldness to apply your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have been looking at the scriptures, last week we touched on what love is, what love is not. And then we asked the question at the end of the messages last week, am I loving and am I being loved? And we answered those, not exhaustively, but we touched on those, and I hope that you continue to dig in the scriptures. But today we're going to talk about love has victory in all things. We go on further of what love is. We just touched on a few points of what love is. And I think today we're going to dig in a little deeper of what love is. I like the Amplified Bible that it takes that same verse and it gives in parentheses of the meaning of that. It kind of gives a little commentary thought on it as you read. And it says, love bears all things regardless of what comes. It believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. And endures all things without weakening. And that's going to be a lot of the basis that we look at. Let's look at the first point. It bears all things. How does it bear all things? It means that it bears up under all kinds of circumstances, regardless of what comes. Now, we see that in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now, there's a twofold, you know, realization in that. First of all, we're going to look here, and later on, we're going to see another phrase that is very close. You know, enduring all things, they're very close to each other, but yet bears all things kind of gives us the connotation of it bears under even when offenses are coming at us, when we're being provoked. Love continues to bear up under that. That abuse, and continues to love. Now, this is probably one of the things that I hear the most, that even Christians say that you can't expect me to do that. Because if they're coming at me, I'm going right back. Right? That's our flesh talking. That's why I say in the prayer as we start, God, we cannot do this on our own. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather punch a guy in the nose and take that tongue lashing. How about you? That's my human nature. I want to get back. I want to get even. Sometimes we even do it passively, don't we? Oh, we'll take the abuse. We don't say a word, but then we go home and take it out on everybody at home, right? We're passive about it. Or maybe we don't say anything and I'm afraid of confrontation, but I'm going to go find someone that I'm not afraid of confrontation. I'm going to take it out on them. We avoid love in many ways because we're trying to protect ourselves. And that's why we have to be thick-skinned, but open-hearted. That almost seems like a contradiction in terms, but it's a biblical basis. We have to be willing to take those things and love when nothing is coming back. We have to be willing to bear up under that. I'm telling you what, loving others is not for wimps, okay? This is tough stuff, right? Now, you know, I remember as growing up as a kid, my mom always talked about tough love. It always felt like it was tougher for me than her. And then I had my own kids, and it's like, oh, wow, this is kind of tough, you know? Sometimes kids think that we just love tormenting their lives and punishing them. They have no idea the depths of our hearts that it cuts when we have to discipline them, don't it? Love bears under all of these things. We're willing to be patient and long-suffering even when others have wronged us. Galatians 6:1-2. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Folks, I think that's why we're so downhearted today. Because we're bearing the burden with each other. We've had the Flynn family going through mourning, and folks, I'm convinced we're going through with them. You don't pray for a family a year and a half, 2 years, and not be attached by the heart. Amen? Now, obviously, we're not enduring all the pain that they are, but we're grieving with them. We're grieving with the Henson family today. And that does hit close to home, doesn't it? Life is difficult, isn't it? And sometimes we feel as though I can't bear my own burdens. How much less, how am I going to bear the burdens with others? As we go to the Lord and we pour out our hearts, we find that we're able to leave it at the cross. And then we feel, I know somebody else that's hurting, Lord. Will you bless them? I talked to Sister Mickey yesterday. I believe it was yesterday morning. And as I was talking with her, I said, "Well, Sister Mickey, how are you?" After we got an update on Brother David. And she goes, "You know, Pastor, I never dreamed that I would have this kind of peace and strength in such a difficult and scary time." She goes, "I know it's the Lord. And I know my church family is praying for me." Isn't that a great testimony? This is not a situation that we would wish upon any of us, amen? But yet then to see an example of faith is mind-boggling, isn't it? But we give glory to the Lord, and we bear up under these things, not only because we love those that are sick or hurting or the loss, but we love the Lord, and we trust His purpose. We trust His heart, and we fall in love with Him. Because we know He loves us. Amen? Do you know that today? Do you know that He loves you? Brother Stan does. Do you know that the Lord loves you? Do you know that He loves you today? Yes. Amen. And we can have faith in that. And in fact, that's what encourages our faith, bolsters our faith. Number two, He believes all things. Now, at first you may think that, well, this means that we just believe anything and everything that goes along. But if we're in context here, we're looking at belief means that, well, usually it can be translated simply as faith. But there's some question is when we're in the text here that it means that as a believer, we will have all faith. But as we see that Paul is explaining to the church of Corinth, you know, they were fighting. They were against each other. They were looking at gifts and spiritual gifts and say, well, I've got this gift. I'm better than you. And the other's like, well, no, I've got this gift, so I'm better than all of you. And so there's a lot of comparing and a lot of division, a lot of just hatred coming out in a church. Can you believe that kind of stuff happened? I know it never happened here at Lindsay Lane. That hatred and meanness coming out. Yeah, we'd never have that problem, would we? But with love, believes all things, is that we're looking to believe or to look toward others with the best intentions, right? Assuming the best in others. Now, I have to admit, there's some in our congregation today that they have to deal with difficult, cruel, criminal people every day. And when I was preparing for this message, I'm like, Lord, how can I tell them that this is, that we're supposed to believe the best in others? Sometimes we get a little jaded, don't we? When you're dealing with the same thing over and over and over. But when we talk about believing all things, believing the best in others, how do we do that? We look to the Lord, don't we? We look to Him and that He is doing a work that we cannot do. That He's able to do a work that we cannot accomplish. And so often when we look at others and we look at people or we look at people groups or whatever it may be, there's plenty of division to go on around so you can just pick whatever you want. When there's so much hatred, sometimes we've given up, haven't we? That's a failure. That is a failure to love. Because even Paul, as an example, His freedom was over. His ability to travel and go and be with Christian friends was over. And he was chained up between two Roman soldiers at all time at the ending last days of his life. And he could have been bitter. He could have complained at them, griped at them, resisted, I'm not going to cooperate with them. But you know what he did? He preached the gospel to them, prayed with them. I would imagine he prayed for them and earned great respect. Why? Because he loved them. He didn't give up where others would. He saw the potential of what God was able to do. Amen? Folks, we're looking around with worldly eyes too much. We're looking at people groups and say, oh, what's the point? What's the use? As a child of God, the purpose is God's purpose, not your own. The purpose that we continue to love is not because I'm hoping I will get some back, but that I'm giving what Christ has already given me, and I know that I don't give back to Him near as much as He's given to me. How about you? So we love based upon His love, not our ability to love. When we sin, we ultimately just close ourselves off to all relationships with others, don't we? We're seeing that more and more all the time. You know, first we blamed it on media. You know, our kids don't know how to socialize. The younger families don't know how to socialize. They're on media, and so they don't get out. I think it's just simply a loss of love. We've forgotten how to love each other and to show love and maybe receive love because we're always looking in a skeptical way. What do they want? What are they up to? They want something. God is going to send His Spirit to give us the wisdom that we need and the spiritual discernment that we need to avoid harm. Now, obviously, there are people that are out there that want to see you fall, that want to see you fail, that maybe even want to harm you. God's going to give you the spiritual discernment to protect yourself if you're listening. Amen? Now, if you're using all of your ploys and skills and you're trying to do it all on your own, you're going to miss things. Because we cannot see the hearts of people, but God can. And He guides us. He uses us in powerful ways when we're willing to love and bear or believe all things. The third one this morning is hopes all things. Now, this is a topic that I'm going to go into, but I got a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more from this topic in the future here. How exciting it is, the hope that we have as a result of love. Do you have hope in every season of life? Sometimes things change, and sometimes our bodies change, and sometimes our health begins to change, and we seem to slip into sometimes attitudes of hopelessness. I think we did that last year. I really do. Closed up in our houses, can't have contact, couldn't meet with people, and couldn't meet with family. It led to many having a sense of hopelessness. And unfortunately, at record levels, we've seen people finding such hopelessness that they took their own lives. How heartbreaking that is. But yet, according to scriptures, those that do not have Christ, which He is our hope, and those who do not have Christ have no hope. And how sad of an ending that is. But there's help, isn't there? There is hope. Because He's alive. Amen? He's alive and well today. Hope is a love for the revealed truths of God's Word. It motivates us. It sustains us. It supports the future that we have. The future hope of a triumph and victory over this life, over death. As a child of God, we have hope. Hope is also defined as a confident expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises. Are you excitedly anticipating the fulfillment of God's Word in your life? Sometimes we forget, don't we? We get so consumed with all that's going on today, the disappointments, the frustrations, and we forget God's promises. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, he says, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, now we keep using immutability and immutable, it's unchangeable. It cannot be changed, it cannot be altered, okay? So the hope that we have in Christ, the determination as heirs of promise, this will never change, and He's confirmed it by an oath, and then that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Man, you getting more hopeful yet? that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Do you see all the symbolism that the writer of Hebrew uses to establish the unchangeable, the unshakable, the unfailing love and hope that Christ has given to us as his believers today? We of all people should never get to a point of feeling utter despair. Folks, I have been able to experience times and trials in life that brought me to the point that I was done. I was absolutely done. And the death of my first wife was one of them. I even just got so angry and frustrated, I tried throwing my Bible away. And I said, God, I'm not doing it anymore. And I remember I threw it in the trash. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. But you know what? According to him, I wasn't done. I wanted to be done. I couldn't take any more. I couldn't go any farther. But he wasn't done. And you know, after that time and we weathered through that season of life, we got to a point of that people would ask, well, Pastor, how did you do it? Well, if you saw me for what I really was, I was in the corner in the fetal position sucking my thumb. I gave up. I quit. But God said, no, just give me one more hour. Okay, we'll get through this hour. Then it's like, okay, let's get through the rest of the evening. Okay, we got through the rest of the evening. And then it's like, well, let's get through this day. And can I be honest with you? I had those ups and downs. Some days it was a real bad day. You know, I didn't really do anything right. It just messed up everything, and I just wanted to give up. But then he brought me back. Let's do better tomorrow. Okay. And it was a day by day, month by month, week by week. A few setbacks here and there. Maybe we'll do better tomorrow. Let's do it again. Okay. And then before long, I began to grow out of it. It had a strength and a confidence. Well, where did I get this confidence? By spending time with the Lord. I see how that he brought me through these things. And it never was me. It never was me. Amen? Unfortunately, in times of good and ease, we mistakenly think that, well, I can do this. Look at how good I am. When in reality, we're miserable failures all the time. Amen? That's why we're here. That's why we need the Lord Jesus. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need hope. Because we are without hope, without Jesus. But with Christ, we have him. Amen? We have him. Hope brings stability to our lives when we entrust our lives and futures to him. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Is faithful. Folks, if you just look at those two examples in Hebrews, you can spend the week in studying that and you'll find that we truly do have hope and it's never going to go away. No one can take it away from us. Nothing is going to change it. Nobody can reverse it. It's ours. As a child of God, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he reminds us over and over, you and I have hope. No matter where you're at in life, no matter how much of a mess that you're in, you have hope. Psalm 33, verse 16. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Do you know why the psalmist used the example of a horse? Today it's kind of like, what's a big deal about a horse? It was the most advanced military achievement of that day. If you had horses in battle, you were a threat. You were a threat. In fact, they would go to Egypt for horses. Egypt was known for having and breeding great horses, powerful horses, used in military excursions. But God says, don't trust in them. You trust in me. There's a lot of things that we use in place of horses today to try to replace God, don't we? Oh, we trust in the medical field. They're going to change it all. You know, our doctors will have their say, but God will have the final say. Amen? We look at science today. Man, we hear this over and over. Science, science, science. Believe the science. Believe the science. I don't know about you, but science has done some weird things in the past, haven't they? All you got to do is study our history. Science, many times, is just trying to catch up with the eternal God who has created all things. Folks, you're not going to find hope in science. You're not going to find hope in the medical field. You're not going to find hope in electronics or the digital age and all these things that are coming up. Yes, they're powerful tools, but they do not instill hope. Because a day it will stop. It will end. They'll have nothing else to say. They'll have nothing else to add. But God will bring all things to a completion, a finish, and then he will stand as the only hope that will extend all throughout eternity. He's the only one that's gone to the grave and come back. Amen? Even science hasn't done that, and science cannot. He is the giver of life, and no one else is. We can duplicate, we can clone, we can copy, but we cannot create. Only God can. He is our only hope. I'm going to move on. Our last point. Endures all things. How does love endure all things? Enduring is somewhat of a compound word in the original text. It's under and to remain. So abide or continue would be the definition. Enduring to the end. In Scripture, it's often used as a enduring to the end of life. Awaiting our eternal prize, always of living through long-term trials. And so we talked about bearing all things, which was out of provocation. You know, you're being provoked, you're being accused, you're being insulted, but you're going to love anyway. Now, enduring all things deals more with a long-term trials. It bears through so many things, no matter how long that it goes on, and it takes a long view. So we're running a marathon, not a sprint, right? So love is going to stay and go the distance. You know, I was thinking of it in building terms. You know, we've got a beautiful building, and we've got all the wooden accents, and we've got lights that highlight different things on the stage, and it shines the beautiful faces of our praise team. And so we got all these beautiful accents around us, right? But do we ever stop and go outside and say, man, that's a beautiful brick. See that one right there? That's a beautiful... No, it goes without thought, doesn't it? Now, except for when Brother Truman and I spent a couple days power washing them, we give them a lot of attention, didn't we, Truman? Yeah, they needed it too. But we don't give that attention to the brick. Why? Because we just expect it to do its job. They're stacked on top of each other. They're molded together. They're stuck there, and they stay for the long term, don't they? Without complaint, little maintenance, but they continue to do their part and bear up under the load. Folks, we need some bricks in God's house today, don't we? Now, notice I didn't say brickheads. We don't need any brickheads. We just need bricks that are willing to endure, right? Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. We just sung about that. His mercy is everlasting, and his truths, what do they do? To all generations. It's timeless. It endures. It bears up. That's why we can found our lives upon it. That's why we can rest our faith upon it. That's why we can have hope in it. Why? Because it endures for all time and to all generations. How else do we endure? I want you to think about this. As he talks about enduring all things, he's talking to the church, and oh, they've got their problems, folks. They really do. They've got their problems, and they're at each other. You know, some are even trying to sue each other. And you could understand why it says to believe all things. You folks need to be thinking better of each other, and you're going to have to bear up under some of those insults, you know. Some of us are younger in the faith, and some of us are just young, and they don't realize the hurt that they're doing or causing, and they don't understand all of the things that are around them. And so they have things that they say that are hurtful, but you know what? I praise the Lord that a church called Moselle Missionary Baptist Church in St. Clair put up with my stupid stuff. It's amazing that they did. But they love me through it. They love me through it. And so we should love each other. Church of Corinth wasn't doing that. It wasn't a place that people could grow. It wasn't a place that people could be people but yet be loved no matter what they were, who they are. But when we talk about enduring all things, I'd imagine there's probably a lot of people say, what's the point of dealing with all this? I'm leaving. But when it talks about enduring, it's talking about staying. Enduring all things means that we're willing to remain in difficult situations for the sake of one another. Rather than seeking our own ease through escape, this means that when our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are making it difficult for us, we don't look for a way out. Since we're talking about long-term perspective, we need to admit that hoping all things is not enough if we will not endure all things. Amen? We will need a front row seat. That means that we are willing to stand in there and take some abuse in the name of seeing each other through to the end. Lindsay Lane, I'm asking you, are you willing to endure all things? I mean all things. You've already, as a church, been through some great difficulties, amen? And you've weathered through. And I told you when I came here, our entire association just rejoices over you that you were willing to endure what you went through in the past and still continue to love. I didn't know what to expect when I came here. I was thinking, man, they could be some bitter, uptight people. But you're not. Because the Lord has seen you through and you're willing to endure, and it drew you closer together. Folks, we need to do some enduring today. Amen? Not looking for a way out, not looking for something easier. If you're looking for something easier, you'll never serve the Lord because it is not easy. It is through tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not for ease. It's not for comfort. You know, if you all decide to have hot pink carpet tomorrow, I'll grit my teeth every time I come in here, but that's what you need. That's what we'll get. Whew, we'll be the most talked about church in the community, I know. But you know what? Sometimes we just need to endure things to see each other through. Amen. I'm going to read one of my last verses. It says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Sometimes it's hard for us to endure difficult times and difficult days and heartbreak and disappointment. But yet when we know that the Lord is compassionate, we know that He is merciful, we know that His word endures to all generations, His truth is good for all time, we learn that He truly loves us and He's watching out for us, that He's steadfast in His presence behind the veil, that He's going to bring us to the Father that we might worship together because He's already there, that His love will never change. He will never stop. He will never go back on His promise. He's given us all these things, but where does all this come? It's all a product of love. You could say right now today, oh man, I'm thinking of this guy right next to me. I guess I'm just going to have to endure him. That's not love. First of all, we go to the Lord and say, God, why am I not loving others, right? Do surgery on my heart. Make me what I need to be, and then teach me to love like you love me. You know, every time I think of somebody else, how they just really irritate me, the Lord reminds me of how I irritate Him. He really does. He really does. He says, oh, you think they're irritating. What about when we... Oh, I know, Lord, I know. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about it. We're going to forget that. Are you with me? Oh, we have to endure with each other. But you know what? We do so because we are loved.